Microphone 3.
Oh, I'm so, microphone. Did you say microphone 3?
I did.
Thank you very much. And first of all, I'm being lobbied right now to repeat a number of questions. But I want to acknowledge the three people who are here this afternoon who I think believe that nurses' votes count. And I want... And I apologize, my name is Frank Gillespie, I'm from Vancouver Metro, and I'm also a resident of this constituency and work in this constituency. And I'm very, very disappointed, and I'll point my finger, because as my colleague mentioned yesterday, if Lord Mayncourt refused to meet with three of us, why would we expect him to meet with 300 of us? But having no representative from this constituency is a real problem. And I'm concerned as working here that I work for an authority that's kind of above everybody else, it seems, in some ways, because we're holy. And that's Providence Healthcare. And I'm very concerned about the possibility, and it's very real for those of us who work there, that they will be closing a very large, significant tertiary care hospital, St. Paul's, and a very, very important community hospital, Mount St. Joe's, and relocating to a P3 project somewhere near the Via Rail station downtown. And I want some assurance from anybody who's elected to government that a process like that would not be able to occur without the communication and consultation with the people who support that facility from the community and the people who work in it.
Tom?
Thank you, Frank. For a moment there, I thought you were pointing your finger at me. I got a little worried. Yes, I do understand that nurses' votes count, and hence the reason why I made the invitation. I'm deadly serious. I wasn't saying it to be cute. If there's anyone here who is interested in involving themselves, I encourage you to call us, because we're looking for still a few good candidates. You know, in answer to your question, the young lady at the back posed to me about some specifics. You know, it's been suggested, I said to you a few moments ago, we've got to learn to think outside of the box. We're closing schools down, for example, in many neighborhoods. What's wrong with using the schools for a long-term care use, or perhaps an adult care center, where the patients can remain then in their neighborhoods, near their families, and utilize those sorts of facilities? Those are the sorts of initiatives that we're prepared to look at and consider, and those are the sorts of things that need to be done. But, you're right, 3P is a huge problem, and as is always the case, this government professes transparency but has none. The only thing transparent about it is its hidden agenda.
Thank you, Tom. Jimmy?
Thank you very much. I can say for sure that there will be no more privatization of healthcare services under the NDP. So whether it be going to be St. Paul's and engaging in some sort of P3 by the rail bed or somewhere else, that will not happen under the NDP. I have to say also, on that question around the government intending to shut down major centers around healthcare delivery, whether it be Mount St. Joe or parts of St. Paul's, we've actually raised those questions with the former Minister of Health, Colin Hanson. And of course, he skated all over the place and wouldn't actually really answer the question. But we are trying to address those concerns and raise those kinds of alarm bells. Shutting hospitals down and without providing services and ensuring that healthcare workers have a place to work to deliver services, that's nothing to help the healthcare delivery and address their commitment on healthcare when and where people need it. So we will certainly not be privatizing, and we'll be working on enhancing healthcare services with you.
Thank you, Jenny. Adrian, do you have a quick remark?
Yes. Privatization is a problem, as I noted, in Abbotsford. Who owns that? Who will own that hospital? The contractor that builds it. It's the wrong way to go. Also, the wrong way to go is centralizing facilities, and that seems to be the bent of the Liberals. Some things, some highly specialized services, heart operation may need centralization, but most services are much better provided in smaller facilities in the communities where people live.
Thank you. Microphone 4.
Hi, Leanna Powell from Kamloops, with a bit of a squeaky voice. You talked about increasing, having more nurses, and the thought comes to my mind is first we have to protect the nurses we have. Needle stick injuries kill nurses. One province has already legislated safe needle devices, and 24 states have done that as well. My question to you is, what kind of commitment can BCNU get from you guys to get province-wide legislation for safe needles and sharp devices? Because it has to happen now.
Very, very quickly, though. We're running out of time really fast, so whoever wants to comment.
If this convention passed a resolution to say that that's what the government should do, and I were in government, I can guarantee you that it would be done. There's a couple of things I want to say, though, that, you know, in further response, we need, for example, to consider and emphasize the value of skilled gerontological nurses and geriatric nurses to encourage that area to be more appealing, because there's a problem in that regard. I know Ms. England, who's taught for 20 years, also says that there needs to be a preceptorship program where nurses with the experience of many years can take on younger students and give them the sort of guidance. Those sorts of programs need to be put into place. So again, that's why I say we need to be able to be creative in order to be able to address the whole host of problems.
Thank you, Tom. Adrian?
Sure. What a fabulous idea. The only reason it's not done is because supposedly this government is thinking about saving costs. What is it about saving costs if it's costing lives? It's prevention to put that in place.
Thank you.
Well, I think there are several issues here, and this deals with the earlier question around work environment and work environment safety issues, and needle injuries for healthcare workers is definitely one of them. I know that there's a campaign on. I know that there's work around this. I know that analysis is being done in terms of cost analysis, and I think that we can actually effectively address these issues by, A, looking at how we can save costs in the system, because I do believe that at the end of the day with the cost analysis, it would actually show that if we have safer needles, that you would reduce workplace injury, that you would actually save costs in the WCV care side, and you would actually increase in terms of quality support in the healthcare system in a number of ways. What I've learned over the last 4 years is this. There are several issues at play here. Yes, economics is one of them, and human lives is the other one, which is why I support safe injection sites. It is about saving lives, but to win that argument, it is also demonstrating that it is economically the right thing to do as well, and I'm committed to that.
Thank you, Jenny. Microphone 5, and our last.
Kevin Berry from the Okanagan Similkameen. Just going to preface it with a quick comment to the cutout. By your non-appearance today, I see quite clearly what you meant by your pre-election promise of transparent and accountable government. My question to all candidates is, will your party commit to targeted funding in the healthcare sector to ensure that taxpayers' dollars go into the publicly funded, publicly delivered healthcare services in this province? We are frustrated at this money currently being used to finance probably the largest growth sector in the province, which is regional health authorities' corporate offices. This money must go to direct patient care resources.
I absolutely believe in targeted funding, including targeted funding from the federal government so it doesn't go into general revenues in this province, but goes into specific funds for health care, which it's intended for. And indeed, regional offices, I mean, I have heard there are 23 people in the PR department of Coastal Health Authority. That's shameful. It should go. The money should go. First and foremost, direct patient care.
Thank you.
Thanks. And really, the question that you put centers around accountability with the healthcare authorities and making sure that the dollars actually flow to patient care first. And then part of that accountability is ensuring that your voice is at the table and elected members will ensure, I think, on the health board to make sure that that accountability is there. I want to finally say this, because this is our closing. It is one thing to promise all things to everyone. It is another thing that you only promise some things and make sure that you actually deliver deliver on those things. And that's what we're doing here with the NDP. We understand that you can't promise everything and then not be able to deliver all of those things that you promised, because all that will do is create cynicism in a system and discourage everyone, and we don't want to do that. Finally, I want to say this. On the long-term care piece and in terms of health care, it is about priority and privatizing dollars. The government, for example, have a $66 million slush fund, a pre-election slush fund under John Less in his Ministry of Small Business and Economic Development. That $66 million can go right now into long-term care beds to address health care issues immediately for the 2004 budget. So those are the kinds of priorities that we can actually address to make changes in how health care could be delivered in our system.
I'd like to thank our guests for being here today. Oh, sorry, Tom.
That's all right. I know what it's like being the third party trying to elbow my way in. I'm having difficulty with the mainstream media as well, I can assure you. So, in answer to the question, you referred to it as target funding. The accountants referred to it as fund accounting. The trouble with the general accounting method that is currently adopted is we know it all goes into a black hole and who knows where it goes. What we need, of course, is a program such as that, and we strongly support it as part of our platform. A good example of it would be there was a mayor in the northern portion of the province who suggested that there be a 5% tax increase to sale of alcohol, and that all of that money would then go to fund drug and alcohol facilities. Most people wouldn't begrudge spending an extra 5% if they were confident that that money was going to for that purpose. So precisely that sort of approach is what we adopt in our platform, because it needs to be done so as to specifically address those areas. So I agree with you.
Thank you, John. I'd like to thank our guests for being here today and taking time from their very busy schedules. And I know that Jenny has left the Parliament building in Victoria to be here with us, and she has a flight at 2. So I'm sort of a little edgy, making sure that she's not late for her flight. So I'd just like to offer some little gifts on behalf of BCNU to our guests for taking the time to be here today. Tom, thank you very much. Thank you. Jenny?